Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Gary Armeley.
Good morning, everyone. Those that are here in the sanctuary and those that are at home. And looking forward to bringing this message. I believe God's placed a now word on my heart. And the songs this morning led right into it. And just the ministry time. Aren't we blessed? Aren't we blessed? Amen. To have the Lord watching over us and meeting every need that we have. What an incredible miracle. Well, I'm talking about diamonds this morning. Bling, bling. Jeannie, you had to be here for this. Welcome. Diamonds are formed under pressure. So turn in your Bibles, please, to Mark 4, verses 16 and 17. I'm going to try and stay within my time limit here. So Holy Spirit, we just invite you this morning. Lord, I don't want to preach without you, and I know I'm not, and you're here in the room, and it's glorious. We could worship you all day long, Lord. Lord, you are wonderful, and you are the way maker, and you're the promise keeper. And Lord, we just thank you. Father, I pray that this message would minister to those who are online watching. Father God, there may be someone, Father, in another country. Lord, we don't know how far this goes, but Father God, people are under pressure. And so, Father God, I just thank you for keys in this teaching that will touch their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So Mark 4, verses 16 and 17, I just want to take that one part out of the story. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And when they have no root in themselves and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Jesus' method of teaching was through allegories or parables. And if you read the word, you'll see that he relates to farming a whole lot. Farming, fishing, vineyards, seed sown, a sheep. You know, it's the method he taught because he knew that the people around him would be able to relate. And so he made it very natural and very real. The greater thing with this that I saw as I was preparing this is that it all began in a garden. And it will all end in a garden. It began in a garden. Jesus suffered deeply in a garden. And it will end in an incredible place because the garden really is a place of intimacy. It's our place of deep intimacy with the Lord. It's inside of us. And Adam and Eve received two commands. They were to guard that garden because the enemy was going to come after it. And they were supposed to worship and work it. They were supposed to till the ground, but part of that is they were to worship. And so our relationship with the Lord and our love with the Lord must be protected. And no one can do that for you. You have to do that yourself. And so assignments come against our relationship with the Lord to destroy it. It's a pattern. The condition of the soil of our heart is what's most important. The soil of our heart must be good soil so it can bear fruit 30, 60, 100-fold, right? But in this story, the soil is still very shallow. And when the pressure comes, the person hears the word. The person that says is excited about that word. And they want to share it with everybody. Have you ever been around a person like that? They get a word and they're so excited and they're going to run hard. Amen? I've been that person. I'm going to run hard. You know, I'm going to do this. Well, then pressure comes. People don't understand the revelation you've gotten or the word you've received, and they start to oppose. And because the root hasn't gone deep into the soil yet, it starts to wither the plant. Okay? So the soil of that heart becomes hardened. How does the enemy do this? Through offense. He uses offense. He uses bitterness. He uses unforgiveness. If God doesn't come with an answer fast enough, we get offended. Amen? And we start to pull back. That makes our heart become stony when we get offended. And that's not my topic, but I wanted to put that in there because in my spirit, I'm sensing that that's a huge assignment on the world right now and on the body of Christ. It's for the church to get offended. Okay? People to get offended with one another. COVID causes us to distance because of the disease. But there's an even greater disease called unforgiveness, which the enemy is using, and offense taking. And so we need to be so on our guard because it will make our hearts stony. And the seeds planted through the word ourselves and through prophetic words, through the teaching of the word, can't take root in us if we have bitterness and unforgiveness in our heart. So offense is huge. So in this scripture, there are key points. Key number one is be in the word. Be in the word. You know, in the beginning stages of COVID, when we were all at home with the shutdown, people across the internet were talking about getting back into the presence of the Lord and finding that time so precious to be with him again and finding all the distractions had been pulled away. And so they could be with the Lord. And there was, I believe, in that season, a getting into the word. We have to be in the word. Because if we're not in the word, when the pressure comes, nothing will come to the top to help us. When the word is deep in us, scriptures start to pop up right away when the enemy comes with his assignments. So key number one, be in the word. The word, Psalm 119 and 105, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I don't know what I would have done in different seasons of my life if I didn't have the word. Because the word has the answers. Pastor Jay referred to King David this morning and how he would stir up his soul, and King David might be very down and depressed, but you would always hear him say, you know, but praise the Lord, you know. His soul turned back to the Lord and he saw the answer from the Lord. And so the same is for us. It says the ones with stony ground endure only for a short time. We don't want to be those people. We want to be for the long haul, right? All right. Then James 1:2-5. My brethren, it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Do you count it all joy? I'm preaching the word. Come on, church. Do you count it all joy? When you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect word, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So the trials produce patience in us. Patience does a work inside of us. And I'll tell you, it's been probably 10 years now of crying out for patience. Increased levels of patience. And the trials do come. And I do have to climb on Daddy's lap. Because without him, I can't do it. And I do have to run to the Word. And God always, when I'm really struggling, will bring a reading across my path, a devotional reading that talks about patience. I says, okay, I hear you. I blew it. Forgive me. Lord, show me how to do this. So the second key is joy. Joy, let me give you a definition of joy. This is a Graham Cook. I just love this when I saw this. Joy is an eternal environment. Joy is a cheerfulness, a calm delight, a happy disposition, and it means to be fully joyful. So, when you're in trial, It's an eternal, a heavenly environment that you need to step into called joy. Come on. It's a place of cheerfulness, calm delight. I always thank the Lord I'm married to a man who has a wonderful sense of humor. And I remember my spiritual father many, many years ago, who's gone to be with the Lord, said, Gary, you can climb the mountaintop and meet with the Lord. And he says, you will, and you'll do it much. But when you come down, God's given you Jack to get your feet on terra firma and to make you laugh some because you're too serious. Proven very true. It's very true. Jack will keep me laughing. Anyway, so, but when I was looking at this, listen to this. The entrance of joy, this is still Graham Cook I'm quoting here. The entrance of joy increases our spiritual, mental, and emotional capacity to receive God's presence that places us above our circumstances. Isn't that good? I'm going to read it again. The entrance of joy increases our spiritual, mental, and emotional capacity to receive God's presence that places us above our circumstances. So now think about it. Here we've taught about, let's just laugh at that. Steve Backlund. Laughing about the lies the enemy is trying to tell us in the middle of trials and tribulations. Laughing about them so we shift the atmosphere. God's presence comes into that atmosphere and we begin to hear him clearly instead of the enemy's lies. So, lesson number two, you need a lot of joy when you're going through trials. So if you're in the middle of a trial and you're watching in your living room today, maybe you need to have a laughing session. Find some nice clean jokes and laugh. You need to laugh. Because it changes the atmosphere. Because God's the way maker. He's already on the situation. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's the God of hope. And he wants to fill us with joy. And that's why we keep saying we're a house of hope. Because we have to have hope in this hour and we want to release hope to you. Amen? But we want to give you tools right now that are going to be very important because the economy is still... And so we need to know that even in the middle of financial pressure, there's a way through with him. One of them is by giving. Amen? It's amazing. He's given us such incredible tools that we win. God wants to help us become who we need to be. When we get under pressure, and I'm going to go into that here in a minute, we get under pressure, it's for a purpose. God's trying to do something in our lives. He's trying to bring out part of his character in us that will be needed for the next step of our journey. Amen? So look at what happened with Jesus. I felt to put this in because I thought, wow, Lord, I'm beginning to understand more and more why certain statements are there about Jesus. It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, Hebrews 12, 2 and 3, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He stepped into an eternal atmosphere when he knew the Father's will was that he would go to the cross. It's amazing when I look at this. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. With joy. With joy, because he knew the end result of what he was going through would be yours and my salvation, and your salvation when you're watching online. That's why it was joy for him. The father was getting his children back. We look at the cross and the horrificness of it, and it was horrific. But Jesus saw the people coming in. He saw the souls being saved through all generations, and he did it with joy. It's amazing. Joy is a third of the kingdom. The kingdom It says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy is the best emotion to dethrone negativism and pessimism. Come on. It's the best emotion. And I have had to learn that I need to laugh. Therefore, I have Jack. Now look what Jesus says, John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So key number three is peace. And when we're in turmoil because of financial distress, we're in turmoil because someone's really sick, peace is not what you're going to be looking for, but it's peace that you need. And it also is a third of the kingdom. Now let me give you a definition of peace. We read these and we think we know what it means. According to the scriptures, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, is the harmony and calmness of body, mind, and spirit, trusting in the power and grace of God. Can I read that again? Because when we're under stress, we don't reach into peace. We tend to want to go with our emotions, and then the stress impacts our body, and we can get sick, right? Especially if it's long-lasting. So the peace that transcends all understanding is the harmony and calmness of a body, mind, and spirit, trusting in the power and the grace of God. And so when we get into the presence of the Lord, when we've got dynamics around us that are difficult, and we go to sit with Him, and His presence comes into the room, and it does when we sit with Him. Might not be like it is in here, but it comes in. Then His peace begins to work in our hearts, and it becomes the umpire in our heart. Peace is the umpire. So when we're out of peace, we know something's out of whack. And so we need to get back into that place with the Lord so that peace comes and joy comes, even in the middle of horrific struggles. Come on. And it's a peace that is hard to describe. I experienced it when Jack had a surgery they botched up, and I had to fly home from Africa. And I didn't know if he'd be dead or alive. I so clearly can remember how that peace just flooded me, and it became the umpire in my heart. And I knew I had to finish the courses I was teaching at the Bible school and correct all the exams. And so God just lined me all up in this incredible place of peace. I got everything done. We went to the airport, and we had to have our airline tickets changed. Guess what? God had those airline tickets for us. Unheard of, 5 people. Really? They can change one person. That plane was full. We got on. They moved one man to first class so I could have a seat. He was probably saying, hip, hip, hooray. Thank you, lady. But anyway, this supernatural peace came. It was amazing. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. So I want to give you a definition of tribulation, because the first scripture talked about tribulation. And we hear a lot about that topic. And it does have different levels of it. I don't want to minimize this in any way. So the word tribulation is talipsis. It's pressure, oppression, stress, anguish, adversity, affliction. It's crushing, squeezing, squashing. It's distress. Imagine placing your hands on a stack of loose items and manually compressing them. Talipsis is like spiritual bench pressing. The word is used of crushing grapes or olives in a press. So we can be under tribulation for short periods of time, for longer periods of time. It's stress. It's pressure. It's adversity. It's affliction. And so sometimes because we see that and we think that word only belongs to end times, we miss the point that we have tribulation, stress, pressure in our lives on an ongoing basis. And the Lord has given us keys for all of that. So this tribulation or this pressure has a purpose in our lives. It's going to build in our lives the character of Jesus Christ. It's already inside of us. It came in when Jesus came into our hearts as Lord and Savior. But that has to be developed. And usually it's not developed when we're in the high places in our life. I can look back over my life and I can tell you key areas in my life where God produced certain things in my life. You know, when you've been walking a long time, you start to see what God's doing. And then you're in a meeting and someone says, "Do you want more patience?" And your hand goes up and you think, "Oh, I don't know." Because the next test is on the way. Right? So, okay, I need to move along. I have more material than I'll get through. So I want to talk to you about diamonds. Let me tell you about diamonds. I have one on my ring finger here that I got almost 53 years ago from this man. That's a long time, isn't it? And Connie and Bill, today, 55. Congratulations. We have longevity. Thank you, Lord. The church has often been compared to a diamond, right? Have you ever heard that? The church is to be like a diamond. And when it gets the darkest, we have to shine the brightest. And so God wants us to shine incredibly bright in this hour. So Isaiah 60 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the Lord and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising." And so in a world situation that we're in right now, the COVID lockdown time, even though it was difficult, hopefully has produced some incredible fruit in our life, and fruit that we're now going to be able to give away wherever we go. Amen? So look at what a diamond is. A diamond is nothing more than a clump of carbon, cold, that refused to give in to pressure. You like that? I did too when I saw that. A diamond is nothing more than a clump of carbon, cold, that refused to give in to pressure. What makes a diamond so strong is what also makes it so incredibly beautiful. Intense heat and pressure causes carbon to crystallize over the course of billions of years. They are formed deep within the earth's mantle and are brought to the earth's surface during a violent pressure and change. So it could be an earthquake. You know, it can be plate shifting. There's many things, but they start to come to the surface. It's the same in you and I. For all of us, we will have sudden upheavals in our life that are meant to bring out our true character in Christ. A diamond has many facets that reflects its beauty. So for the formation of Christ in us also is reflected in many different ways. We're all unique. We all go through different pressures that form us, difficulties. Some are in difficult marriage relationships. Some are in difficult job situations, family dynamics that can be hard. But when we let God work in us and bring forth in us gentleness, kindness, patience, long-suffering, all those characters that Jesus Christ carried, and at the right time, the right one for that family situation. It's amazing how that impacts that family, and people get saved. When they see you walking through a trial of the loss of a loved one or whatever it is, and they see you just full of peace and flowing out Jesus in the middle of it, it impacts people. They see something different. So the formation of Christ in us is also reflected in many different ways. The incredible pressure we face during hardships or fiery trials cause the hidden treasures within us to emerge. A diamond's resilient nature makes it stable, pure, and strong. But that didn't happen overnight. And it doesn't happen overnight with us. Our true worth will not be visible if we do not allow the pressure of life to bring forth the beauty of Jesus Christ in us. If the trials are wasted because we turn to other things to kill the pain, what God wants to do won't happen. Amen? So He has to be our source, the Word, the joy, the peace. It's all here for us. There's a risk with all of this. The risk for us is to jump ship when the pressure becomes too much. And instead of drawing on all that He has given us, we allow the enemy to pull us into mediocrity. That's not what we want. We want to stay the course. He's the way maker. He's the promise keeper. We sing it. Sometimes we can sing those words and not even hear what we're singing. He is the way maker. He will make the way in the middle of the storm. He will bring us through. We've been given tools that are incredibly wonderful to do all of this. We don't want to walk away, and you know when we have, some people may have two or three trials at the same time. And that's sometimes when it's good to call intercessors, say, can you pray? The load's very heavy right now. And that's a good thing to do because it'll undergird us. That's why we're a body. We have each other to lift one another up. I've called for prayer when it gets too tough. I'm so grateful I can do that. I may tell my children. We have family situations going on right now. It's like, we need to pray, you know? Might not go to the intercessors. It may be in a family talk online. We really need to pray for one of our siblings, or we need to pray for one of our grandchildren. We lift one another up. Once a diamond is pushed out of its hiding place in the ground through intense pressure and surfaces for the air, the cutting process begins. The more the diamond and we are tested, tried, cut, and polished, the more light it and us are able to reflect. I don't know about you, but I want to be the most expensive diamond there is. The most expensive, don't you? There's some diamonds in northern Canada that are spectacular. It's like, Lord, I want to be the most beautiful diamond you have. I wore my pearls today because I felt to wear them. Many of you online too watching me, these are a gift from the Lord. God called me a pearl of great price. Sent them home with Connie from Jerusalem, from a pastor who was led by the Holy Spirit to go into a jewelry store and buy them, and held on to them till the right time. And when Connie walked in, he asked her questions. You have a woman pastor? Yes. And I was the recipient of these beautiful pearls from Jerusalem, cultured pearls. I said, thank you, Lord. Does God know us? But I'm going after diamonds too. Just saying. Hey, the Lord wants to bless us, right? Really, truthfully, though, God knows us and loves us. The word diamond comes from the Greek word adamas. Pastor Jay, this we're seeking out. Adamas, Adam. There's a whole lot here. I can't go there. But adamas, which means unconquerable, unalterable, unbreakable. So Jesus, the last Adam, was unconquerable, unalterable, and unbreakable. When we say a person is adamant about something, we are saying they are tough, resolute, determined, firm, and steadfast. I want to be adamant about the Lord. Amen? No matter what the situation will become, no matter how the world situation turns, okay, we don't know. We don't need to know. I know that as a believer, I shouldn't say we don't need to know, but it doesn't become our prime focus that we can't focus on anything else anymore. I believe as believers, we are to help others become strong in the Lord, to become so grounded in Him, so established in Him, that no matter what comes, we stand. Right? Isn't that the whole purpose of what God wants to do in us, so that we are overcomers? That our struggles don't overcome us, but we overcome them in Christ? And so we need a solid foundation in us. So there's some keys in here for the future, church. So I have a question for you. How adamant are you about becoming all that God has purposed you to be? How adamant are you? How adamant are we to become everything God's prophesied over us? We all have prophetic words and destinies on our lives. How adamant are you, no matter what, to walk it out? How adamant are you to be so filled with light when you go out and you speak, people look at you and say, what is it you have? And you have an opportunity to testify to what Jesus is for you. Did that process happen during your lockdown and COVID? I believe for a lot of people it did. You could hear it in their voices. It wasn't lost time for the church. It wasn't just binging on Netflix. Amen? It was seeking the face of the Lord. Diamonds are cut by another diamond because they're so hard. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. We all need friends in our lives that will help us to see our blind spots and that love us enough to speak the truth to us. Amen? And sometimes we may disagree with a friend who's trying to tell us truth, but it's a wise person that listens and steps away from offense, which is what the enemy wants to bring, so we don't get the truth. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. The wounds, the cutting or polishing of a friend. It's our family, our close relationships, that most often are the hardest tests. When we are faced with challenges, the master is cutting and chiseling. And he chisels in the areas of our life where we're not like him. And he knows in what order it needs to happen, because he knows what's next down the road for us. Amen? He knows every day of our life. He knows when our life will end. And we stand in his presence. And it says that when we see him face to face, we'll be like him. We'll look like him, because he's been able to form himself in us. We are the hands and feet, the mouth, the arms, the eyes, the ears of Jesus on the earth. So our salvation isn't just a ticket to heaven. It's to see his kingdom come and his will be done. Transformation is not easy. It can be painful. But God will help us through. Look what Paul says. He was in such a struggle. He had a thorn in the flesh. And it says he cried 3 times to the Lord, can you just take this away? Lord, I'm sure Paul had seen prayer after prayer being answered. And here he is. Look what the Lord said to him. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because when he's weak, Jesus becomes strong in him. It's like Jesus Christ stands up in him. Paul says, boy, I'd rather be weak if you're going to stand up strong in me. I think I'd rather too, thank you. Because it's a whole different story when God stands up strong inside of you. So there's a grace that's been given to us. Grace is God's free empowerment that gives us the ability to go on beyond our natural ability. So when we're in a tight place and we're feeling pressed because of financial pressure, business pressure, family pressure, infirmity, sickness pressure, there's a grace in him. And that's where we need to turn. That's where he's there for us. Grace is like a beautiful diamond that has so many sides to it that it reflects all different colors of light. It's manifold. It's many faceted. Scripture speaks of grace as the manifold wisdom of God. It means that there is no situation or problem to which the grace of God cannot match. So there's not a situation that he cannot come in and fix. There's no possible crisis, emergency that the grace of God cannot find a way to meet and solve. Grace is God's active power working through us for that situation. You are of tremendous worth and value to God and to mankind. You may be a diamond in the rough yet, but I'm telling you, when you stay with God and walk with him, you become an incredible, beautiful diamond. So I want to tell you another quick story because I have to end. Okay, let me just... yeah, I want to just end with this. I want to end with... if you notice that scripture, first of all, that I read you to start with, Mark 4, 20 to 22. But these are the ones sown on the ground, on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Also, he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on the lampstand? That's the next verse after the teaching on the soil. You'd almost think, wow, how does that fit there? But you see, when we have good soil and God is able to do the cutting, the polishing, the shining that he wants to do, we become a bright light. And that's what the enemy intended, to put fear on everybody during COVID-19. I mean, the world is rampant with fear. And for some people where there's been loss, you know, I understand. But we don't want to stay under that thing, because we want to be able to be full of light and hope. Amen? We want to be a people with purpose. Woo! Wow. Well, I don't think I'm going to be up and running. Should I tell the story just to the congregation? Can you hear me? Okay, there we go. We're back on. All right. Yeah. But we're almost finished anyway. So it's a story about a donkey. A farmer had a donkey, and the donkey fell into the well. And the donkey was old. And the farmer had no idea how he was going to get that donkey out of the well. And so he thought to himself, the donkey's old. It's going to take too much trouble. I'm going to get the neighbors together, and we're just going to bury the donkey in the well. We're just going to put dirt on that donkey and going to bury that donkey. And so all the farmers came over, and they began to shovel dirt into the well. And at first they heard the donkey just, you know, probably braying. It's like, God, what are you doing to me? You know, can't you imagine how that donkey would feel all these shovels of dirt coming? But after a little bit, the donkey got silent. And the farmers, after they'd thrown some dirt in, decided they were going to look what was going on with the donkey. Lo and behold, every time a shovel of dirt came down on that donkey, the donkey would shake it off and under his feet. Till eventually, the dirt was so deep and the donkey got to the top of the well and he stepped out of the well. He wasn't going to get buried down there. How about you? Are you in that hole in the well right now? Are you in that place where you're frustrated? And I'm not going to say you're old, but you're in that place and people want to shovel the dirt on you and you're going, wait! Or are you the person that's going to shake it off, not get offended, right? Look to the Lord and, Lord, how do I get out of here? Step on it. Step on it. We talk about stepping on the devil. Step on it till you get out of the hole. Keep praising the Lord. Keep drawing on joy. Keep laughing, even if you have to force the laugh. Amen? Just keep celebrating. Keep calling on him for the peace that he promises in the middle of that turmoil. Sit with him. Sit with him. Don't try and figure it out on your own. Sit with him. Let him lead you to the scriptures that will form him in you. The trials are for a purpose. They are for a purpose. So Christ can be formed in us. Use the difficulties and obstacles you face as stepping stones to your goals in life. When a seemingly impossible situation comes your way, do not just allow it to hurt you. Be creative about overcoming it and determined to make it work for you, not against you. You are diamonds, beautiful diamonds. You are valuable to the Lord and you're valuable to your families. And even more than that, you're valuable to the world in this hour. So, Father, I pray that as you are chiseling away in our lives, that you would be able to do that work incredibly in us, that we would not stop you, that we would say yes to you, that we would draw on everything you've provided. For those that are in incredible pressure right now because of business, I pray peace for them. I pray that they would find joy in you, that, Lord, you would even send friends along, Father, to make us laugh. I remember in the about a month into COVID, and Claude and Elaine, you'll remember this, and it was just tough being in, and we get a Facebook, we call it Facebook Live call? FaceTime call from Claude and Elaine. And they're sitting in their living room, and Jack and I are sitting in our living room, and Claude says, I have some jokes to share with you. And you know, we were in just a rough spot. And he just shared for about 10 minutes different jokes and did it a few times and all at the right times always. Just some jokes and we just laughed together. They were in their living room, we were in ours. These dumb jokes, some of them. But it was wonderful because it just took the angst away and it lifted us into a different place. When we got off the call, we were just in this different place altogether. It had lifted off of us. So tell a clean joke. Amen. Be blessed. God bless you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.